Election Day. It was anything but a perfect day. It can't be a perfect day. You got winners and losers. Since my last show, one of my favorite rock musicians passed into the next life. Tonight, I'm going to honor one of the most influential musicians of his time, Lou Reed. I think my guests, my usual listeners know that I use different entertainers, but losing Lou Reed is a real loss. I first saw him at the Tower Theater in 1974. It was unbelievable. I've seen him 8 times over the years, and I hate losing him. So we're going to feature Lou Reed music for all of the segues tonight. It's hard to find lyrics that relate directly to tonight's topic, but I got as close as I could, so don't expect it to be directly related. The voters have spoken. Actually, a handful have. Well, really, a small handful. Once again, most folks have let a tiny fraction of the voting age population determine what our lives will be like over the next few years. In America, all too often, regular folks get manhandled by the people in power. But when it comes to elections, we've got nobody to blame but ourselves. In some countries, people jump out of buildings, stand in the way of tanks, go to jail, or set themselves on fire for the right to vote. In America, most folks would rather complain than take a little bit of time to learn the issues, where the candidates stand on those issues, and actually go vote. Tonight, I have two of the people who follow these issues very closely, then interpret them for your entertainment. They are Jim Flagg, who is a longtime editor of the editorial page of the Express Times. His opinions have been expressed for, what, about 30 years, Jim?
Well, about 20 as the editorial page editor.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I also have Bernie O'Hare. Bernie is a volunteer educator of the voters and engager of people with opinions. He writes a blog in the Lehigh Valley about the goings-on, mostly politics, lots of other things going on. He's been doing it for many years. He doesn't get paid a nickel for it. I don't think I've ever seen an ad on the blog, and it is widely read, easily the most widely read blog in the Lehigh Valley, and I can guarantee you people who deny reading it are reading it. I once had a former state senator say to me that he saw something about me in the paper that day, and I knew I hadn't been in the paper, and what he meant was Bernie O'Hare's Lehigh Valley Ramblings. Bernie, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much. Appreciate all the accolades.
Bernie's been on the show before. I got a lot of people mad as hell at me for putting him on the show, but you know, both of us, I think, Bernie, are probably at the top of the heap of making people mad.
Yes. Well, there's a few of us out there. Myself, you, Ron Angle. Yeah. There's a few of us.
Yeah.
That tend to rub people the wrong way.
I don't want anybody to think it's a fraternity or anything. Did you guys vote?
Several times.
Several times. You've invited a couple of super voters to your show. You probably should have invited a few people who haven't voted for a few years and see what's on their minds.
I tried to make up for them.
Yeah. I look at these results, and I don't see any real themes emerging that we can identify as having come out of the election. Do you agree?
Oh, I think there were some themes. I think there was kind of a flat line through some of the races, but I think we saw some trickle down from, you know, disenchantment on the federal level. I think we saw sort of a swing back and forth between parties on the county levels, and I think, you know, there was definitely a vote for change through a lot of the races.
Yeah, well, I picked up a lot of trends. Okay, you know, I mean, you know, in Lehigh County, the turnout might have been a little bit better than it would ordinarily be, whereas in Northampton County, it was worse than it should be. That was one thing I noticed. In Lehigh County, there was a good ground game. In Northampton County, there was not. There were differences in personalities between the Lehigh County executive candidates that really did not exist with the Northampton County executive candidates. Like when they both debated, in their one and only debate, you'd be hard-pressed to find any real differences between the two of them.
And that was a first. I can't remember an election in which there were two candidates from two different parties standing up and saying, we basically agree, we have similar experience, and we have, you know, almost similar demeanors, you know, and going before the voters.
Yeah. Their only difference was their personalities. You know, John Callahan is a little bit of a, you know, he's young.
He's a sales
somewhat
guy.
Aggressive. He's a salesman. He's kind of, you know, and some people rubs the wrong way and some people love it. And John Brown, on the other hand, is kind of like John Stolfa, very quiet, laid back, is a little bit more above the fray, so to speak. So there was a difference in personality. And in Lehigh County, there were very, very serious differences between the executive candidates that we didn't have in Northampton County. In Lehigh County, we had basically a Tea Party conservative Republican who was actually quoted. He's actually quoted as saying, "Can't the churches take care of these people? Isn't there anybody who loves them?" With respect to 85-year-old women who were up for getting $30,000 in a pass-through grant for Meals on Wheels, and that's his quote. That's what he said.
And that registers with some voters.
Almost half of them. Yeah, it certainly did. In fact, it registered with Tom Mueller, who was a Republican, who became a Democrat and ran against him because of these pass-through grants.
Yeah, but now you guys are talking, we'll get into each of these races individually, but you're talking about themes that might have come out of the races individually. I don't think there was a broad across-the-board swath, you know, and before the show I was talking about this. In 2010, large numbers of angry Republicans, disdainful of the president's actions for the first 2 years of his term, turned out. Democrats, uninspired, lazy after getting their man elected in 2008, and Republicans just kicked some serious butt.
You still don't think there's a theme?
That was in 2010. I don't think that's the case this time.
The theme here and the theme in all these municipal elections is that people don't care. The people who matter the most, the people are working poor, okay? The people who you take care of, Alan, who you help
on a daily basis. Only partially true, Bernie. I mean,
they don't vote.
People do care, but
they don't vote.
They see their vote is not having an effect.
Yeah.
And for the people who stay away, and the numbers are huge. I mean, you look at the turnout in this election, which when there were important races on the line, you had fewer than 20% of the voters in Northampton County coming out.
18%.
And if you look at that as a percentage of the voting age population, it's probably down around 10%.
Yeah.
And I've had so many conversations with people who are sort of up to date on politics, but they just don't even bother to come out, except maybe once in every 4 years.
They vote in the presidential races, and then they don't vote in the races that will have the most significant impact on these municipal races.
Any idea how much local government matters
because
in their lives?
If you don't take an interest in your local government, has an uncanny ability of taking an interest in you.
Yeah.
Which
I agree with that.
Not an interest that you're going to like.
Until you want them, until you want to fill a pothole.
Yeah.
You're listening to WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, Jim Flagg, editor of the editorial page at the Express Times, Bernie O'Hare, a colorful blogger, runs a blog called Lehigh Valley Ramblings. I'm sure there are a lot of people who would love to call in. We're not taking calls.
Coward.
I don't like the things that they'd say about me.
Coward. Come on.
Let's
call in.
Let's talk about some of the specific races. Let's start with in Lehigh County. Let's start with Allentown. I think, Bernie, you and I disagree on this one. My view is that the dissenters turned out, that the people who were angry about Pawlowski's water deal, the generator project, and so on, were sending a message through Michael Donovan, and people didn't turn out because they thought that Pawlowski was an easy win. I thought Michael might get 35 to 40%. I was in the neighborhood. I think he got 39% or 40%.
38%.
38. Mm-hmm. He was very proud of that. I think he has every right to be, because it still is an impressive response. But I don't see it as anything resembling a kick in the teeth. I think it was Pulaski voters stayed away, Donovan dissenters turned out. What do you think?
Well, I think you're wrong. Okay, I think that what happened, I believe, is that people are voting less and less and less. In 2005, in the general election in Allentown, there were 10,145 voters. In 2009, that number dropped to 7,908 voters.
Wow.
In 2013, in the general election, that was 5,853. Now, there are extraneous factors. Like in 2005, we had a county executive race. You know, Don Cunningham was taking on Jane Irvin. So that added some buzz to it. And you had Pulaski going up against Height and against Michael Molovinsky. And that added some buzz to it. And in 2009, you had Tony Phillips, you know, trying to get in there. So, you know, those are the kind of things that might have generated some excitement. But the disturbing trend that I see, and this is once again what you asked in the beginning, this disturbing trend I see is a death. It's a death of democracy. People aren't voting. They don't care. We're almost at half what we were 8 years ago in a general election in Allentown.
Which was nothing to brag about in the first place.
That's correct.
I mean,
that's terrible.
Like,
yeah, but the
terrible
perception that Donovan, I think, was not going to register in the election has an effect. You know, it has an echoing effect on whether people come out. And people in Allentown had good reasons to come out and vote for a mayor.
That's correct.
They did. You know, and when Mike Donovan came in to meet with our editorial board, our first question was, why are you even in this race?
You know, did you endorse Ed?
Yeah.
You endorsed King Edwin?
We endorsed Pulaski, yes.
You endorsed King Edwin?
Yep.
Over, oh my goodness.
People know, you know, we're going to get into some of the comments on your blog today, Bernie, but, you know, I had a Pulaski sign in my front yard. I think he's done. I think the water deal was a stroke of genius. You know,
hello.
Hello. Yeah, no, I do. I think it's going to resonate in his campaign for governor. It doesn't mean I'm saying he's going to win, but I think Pulaski has as good a chance as anybody does.
I think Pulaski's race for governor is already over.
Well, we'll come back to that. But
yeah.
But city council, I don't think anything exciting to talk about in Allentown City Council. We got the incumbents returning. There was nothing grand.
I would have loved to have seen somebody like Kim Velez, who was almost denied ballot access.
Yeah,
You know, she was really quite an exciting candidate.
Yeah, I want to go back to Donovan for a second, though, because you expected him to take about a third of the vote, and he did. And he really struck a chord, I think, with two things. And one is that as much as the people of Allentown, I think, are on board with the neighborhood improvement zone and the water lease deal in terms of, like, turning around the finances of an ailing city.
Yeah.
There were two other things, and one was the Delta Thermal plant, which I think is still unproven. And if I were living in Allentown, I'd be having real second thoughts about that, even with all the benefits. You know, I spent a lot of my time researching and writing editorials about the burning of toxic waste and cement kilns right outside Bethlehem in East Allen Township. And that's a technology we still don't know the effect of, and I feel the same way. The other thing was just the neighborhoods. You know, Donovan was saying, You know, that's great. You've got all these things going on and you're bringing in money, but where's the rub off on the residential neighborhoods? You know, Allentown is still very much like Bethlehem and Easton. It's a downtown that's coming back, and it's still surrounded by, a population that, you know, isn't feeling the effects of that.
If you walk down the streets of Allentown, as I did about a year ago when my grandson's dog was lost and we were out looking for her for 2 days until we found her, there are blocks upon blocks of properties that are posted, condemned, foreclosure, tax sale. You know, it's terrible. It's terrible.
There's no question. Allentown's got big time problems. I think, you know, even with the NIS and the water deal, essentially, really rescuing the burden of those stranded costs of the pensions. The school district is going to continue to be an albatross haunting that city, and something's got to happen there. And I've got some ideas about that, but that's, I guess, for later on. Let's
Donovan did well.
Yeah, I think
he
did.
$3 a vote.
I told him I thought he had reason to be proud. But again, I think part of that had to do with dissenters turning out.
Isn't that what you do?
What's that?
I mean, isn't that what an election is about, for dissenters to come out and say,
sure,
we don't like the guy, the job he's doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And Jim, he came up with one thing that people don't like, which was the trash to cash deal, which is, I guess, what it's referred to by some of us. And, you know, there are many people who are not happy about the NIS. And there are many people who are not happy about the water lease. They're very unhappy about that.
Lehigh County gave us some interesting things to talk about. You had two Republicans running against each other, one who changed his party registration in response to the behavior of the other being Scott Ott. I don't think Scott would be offended if I said a very conservative guy, charming, eloquent, but very, very conservative, running against a guy who was motivated to run by Scott Ott's comments, former corporate executive, some of the top positions in some of the top companies in Lehigh Valley, who was, the Republican Party isn't my party anymore kind of guy, switched and ran. I thought what was really interesting about that election was that, if you're an observer, when you're running countywide, a Democrat has to get a huge majority by about 9 or 9:30 p.m. because the urban, mostly Democratic district reports come in early. And as the night wears on, the more conservative Republican suburban communities start to turn out. And so I teach at Lehigh, but in the middle of the class, I quick snuck over and looked at where the numbers were going. And Mueller was up by about 1,300 at the crucial turning point. I thought, well, that's it. He's going to lose. And yet he hung in there. And I think he hung in there because he appealed to fellow Republicans about the problem that I think the national party is dealing with is, you know, how do we survive as the party of white, conservative white men? And I think he, reached out to Republicans who are more moderate. And I think a lot of Lehigh County Republicans are moderates.
Do you want me to chime in?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I would think that in the case of Tom Mueller, he had a great message, and his message was the same from the day he announced his campaign until the day he was elected. I remember standing there in Emmaus when he announced his candidacy, where he was talking about the word he invented was called cliffsmanship, where he talked about what people do. They bring things right up to the brink, right up to the edge of the cliff, and then they pull back. And he said that's what people do in Washington, and that's what they're starting to do in Lehigh County. The Lehigh County commissioners were questioning pass-through grants from the federal government. He announced in Emmaus because that's where HUD grants was going to prepare the triangle, and that money was in jeopardy. I don't know if I mentioned it on the air. Yeah, I did, about the pass-through grants for Meals on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Ott registered all kinds of concerns and objections about these things, and then the conservative commissioners backed away from it, although Ott abstained from voting. They backed away from it, and it threw a scare into everybody. It threw a scare into people. Sure, there's some things that are wrong with the way that the federal government administers things. There's all kinds of administrative costs, but I think that just to remove the money completely is irresponsible.
We'll continue with the discussion coming back out of the break. I'm sure Jim wants to line up on this one, but we're going to take a quick break. I'm Alan Jennings. I'm the host of Lehigh Valley Discourse, which is the show you're listening to. This is WDIY, listener-supported community public radio, and you are the smartest listeners in Lehigh Valley. Stick around for Jim Flagg from the Express Times, Bernie O'Hare from Lehigh Valley Ramblings.
She'll make you smile just to watch you frown, just like a clown. Everybody,
DIY is pleased to partner with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce presenting A Lehigh Valley Christmas on Sunday, December 1st from 7 to 10 p.m. at Miller Symphony Hall. Performances by Zen for Primates, Dave Fry, Jay Kaligas, the BC Combo, Lucky Seven, the James Supra Blues Band, and many other Lehigh Valley favorites.
For more information, 610-751-4929 or online at allentownsymphony.org/lvxmas.aspx.
Oh, Jim, how could you treat me this way? Hey, 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 how'd you treat me this way? Oh, Jim, how could you treat me this way? Hey, hey, how'd you treat me this way?
You know you broke my heart. Utterly irrelevant, except that it was Oh Jim, and you know, I told you it was hard to find relevant songs. But that's from an album called Berlin. It is my all-time second favorite album. It is dark and brooding and miserable album, and it is super cool. Yeah. All right. Let's just finish with Lehigh County. First of all, Jim, I don't know whether you wanted to weigh in on the.
I thought with Tom Mueller there was a strong, you know, here's what you see, here's what you get sort of, you know, pitch to the voters, and I think it worked. I mean, he's a conservative running as a Democrat. He was, you know, he was saying we can get through this year without a tax increase, we can have a stable government, and I'm not going to give up, you know, federal and state monies coming to Lehigh County so that somebody in Idaho can go and build a highway, which I think that registered with Scott Ott's, you know, approach saying,
why would you give back money that you've already paid for, and it's not going to cut your taxes. It's going to go to some other community. It's going to laugh at us the whole way down the street. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Council, nothing changed.
Right? You're talking about commissioners.
Commissioners, right. Still seven R's, still two D's.
Wes Barrett gave him a run.
He did.
Wes Barrett gave Mike Schwer. In fact, I thought Wes Barrett was going to win that race.
I thought he had a pretty good chance. I was surprised by that one. The rest, I'm not so sure about.
Yeah, the rest, I, and those are district races. That's the difference between Lehigh and Northampton County. You weren't getting the take of all of the voters. You're only getting the take of the voters in that district. I thought it was interesting what Wayne Woodman did. Okay, in
Wayne
race.
Woodman, the chair of the committee, the Republican committee in Lehigh County.
There were no Republican candidates running for commissioner in Allentown. There were no Republican candidates running for city council in Allentown. There was no Republican candidate running for mayor in Allentown. And I believe that was purposeful. I think he was ceding that to the Democrats in an effort to suppress turnout.
Yeah, that's interesting.
In a Democratic area so that the Lehigh County executive candidate would win. In other words, he was sacrificing Allentown on the altar of Scott Ott.
Well, and you know, Wayne Woodman is a really sharp guy, and he is also pretty Machiavellian, and you know, he's tough, and that's a very interesting theory, and I wouldn't even begin to doubt it. Let's go over to Northampton County, also very interesting race, very different in many ways. Obscure part-time mayor from a little borough up in the Slate Belt that gets really ignored by too much of us down here. John Brown, we got interested in him because he was trying to regionalize police departments up there. I'm active with a group called Renew Lehigh Valley that gets our attention. Running against a very well-publicized, lots of money, I think pretty successful mayor of the biggest city in the county. And I don't think any of us wasn't shocked by the outcome.
And did we all end up selling John Brown short, or did we just assume that, you know, the mayor of Bethlehem was going to coast, you know, in what traditionally is a Democratic county? You know, there were two good candidates in this race.
Well, yeah, I certainly didn't see it coming. You know, I ended up losing a bet. I had to pay Lucy Lennon. I had to buy her lunch. She was one of the big Brown supporters, and I had to buy her lunch earlier this week. Fortunately, she took it easy on me. She didn't eat too much.
Here's what I think happened, and Bernie, I hope you'll look at this. John Brown's earlier reports indicated he didn't have a lot of money.
Oh, I know where you're getting.
And Callahan had a ton.
$500,000.
And he was sitting on a lot of it. I think in part because he wanted to save his money for the next run, maybe have some money to spread around to buy support among, you know, council members and so on in order to get his initiatives passed. And he thought it wasn't going to be bad. He was worried about whether Democrats would turn out, assuming that he would win. But I don't think he had any expectation that the flood of mail and advertising that occurred in the last month was going to happen. I'm telling you, there will show up in the last report, the next report, a substantial chunk of money come from a couple of particular places. And I think it'll have had something to do with the neighborhood improvement zone in Allentown. That's my theory.
I think the race did change, you know, in the middle. I think when the polls started showing that Callahan was not, you know, pulling out a substantial majority, I think that's when Republican sources in the state committee started getting involved and saying this is probably worth investing. And you could almost see it in the daily mailers that were coming through the mail slots, and some of them were redundant. And I could see that the Callahan campaign was starting to push more money into it. And, you know, you could just see that, you know, everybody was taking this seriously in the last 2 weeks.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. When John Callahan lost this race was on the day he announced that he was endorsing J. Willie Reynolds for Bethlehem mayor. That's the day he lost his race for county executive.
And a lot of Democrats were mad.
He alienated a lot of Democrats. For some reason, it didn't hurt him in the primary because he had such a machine going in the primary. In the primary, he had a group that met weekly and that strategized weekly. And he had a field director. He had a ground game going. He had everything going. And he kind of lost touch of that. You know, I think he was taking it for granted. He went to Israel in the middle of the summer during his, you know, county executive race. He goes off to Israel. He did kiss and make up with Bob Donches, who was the ultimate Bethlehem mayoral candidate who had defeated Willie Reynolds, but he never did it publicly. There was never any public demonstration of that. There were no mailers going out.
A lot of that is insider stuff. And you know, and when you look at that, you go back and you try to dissect the campaign, it's almost like saying, look, if David Ortiz doesn't hit a grand slam in the second game of the playoffs, the Red Sox don't get to the World Series. They don't have that feel-good story.
On the night of the election when they were tabulating the results, they're having a party for Donches at the Hotel Bethlehem, whereas Callahan was at the Steel Stacks. And when they announced that Callahan was behind, the Donches room erupted into applause. Yeah. That's not inside baseball.
No. I don't mean to mean that, but I think it really came down to a lot of unpopular decisions that Callahan made. Some of which made sense in terms of where the budget was and where the city was. Others, which were devastating to somebody, you know, running for a higher office. I mean, you look at his budget decisions, you know, borrowing, you know, to meet current expenses. You look at, you know, the promise of casino revenues. You look at the single collection, the single contract garbage disaster, and then, you know, on an election year. You know, there managed to be a marathon in Bethlehem that went through the streets and forced almost all the pastors in all the churches to cancel or postpone their services. And all these things just sort of had a cumulative effect, I think, going into this campaign.
And, Jim, I think a big one that you missed is that he was really tough challenging Lehigh University to contribute to the city's financial situation. And there are an awful lot of, you know, Lehigh University employees, family of employees, and alumni who live in this
But you can't fault him for that. You can't fault him for going out and asking.
No, I don't. In fact, you know, John's an old, both Johns. I've worked with both of them. I've worked with John Callahan for far longer. I think the guy's bold. I think he's got some guts. I think he's creative. I think you could say the same thing about Pulaski, and that's a hard person to stick with. You know, somebody is going to, you know, people are going to get alienated because they're not going to like the decisions, and they don't like the forcefulness and enthusiasm that they bring to those decisions. And I think that's leadership, and I think typically Americans like leadership, but not always.
Well, you were saying earlier about him holding back, you know, some money in his campaign war chest. I think he went into the final reporting period in the second Friday before the election with $118,000 in his war chest. He needed every penny of that.
Yeah, he did.
Because, as it turned out, John Brown, all of a sudden in 24-hour reports, he's picking up $40,000.
Yeah.
$30,000 from the Republicans. And where did the Republicans get that money from?
We'll see.
I'm sure I've got my own ideas about that, too.
You're listening to WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. I get the opportunity once a month, sometimes more, to talk about the public affairs issues that I think are important in our lives. I bring you pretty interesting guests, and tonight those guests are Jim Flagg, long-serving editor of the editorial page of the Express-Times, Bernie O'Hare, who is a volunteer who runs easily the most widely watched blog in the Lehigh Valley called Lehigh Valley Ramblings. Okay, so let's move on to county council. What's up with that? Republican sweep. Can you explain it?
You can almost look at it as like the yin yang, you know, theory that, you know, every 2 years, you know, county council elects the district seats, and then, you know, in 2 years, you know, we go to the at large seats, and they've the last three times through the Democrats have swept the district seats, and the Republicans have taken the at large seats, and it's hard to explain.
I was like in shock to see Jerry Seifried, a former county executive, a former county council president, Ron Heckman, a former county council member, a former director of human services, both of them just swept by the wayside.
Both great name recognition.
Yeah, so they didn't matter. In place of somebody who thinks that the United Nations is ready to take over Northampton County.
Well, I'm running on that issue myself next time.
You want to name names, Bernie?
Well, Hayden Phillips. Hayden Phillips, he's all about Agenda 21. He thinks that the United Nations, you know, has got some secret plan to take over the world, you know, to take over local government. It's ridiculous. Before I came here tonight, I was at a open space committee meeting. The county, by the way, breaking news, the county is signed an agreement of sale to purchase the property surrounding Housnick Park in Bethlehem Township and in Bethlehem City. It's a gigantic tract they're buying from the Leckenby Estate and another tract from the Central Moravian Church.
Okay.
And they're going to put that into heritage, into some kind of national heritage. I swear to God, they better approve it now before Hayden Phillips gets there, or he's going to say that the UN wants to use it as landing pad for their black helicopters.
Yeah, but you're talking about one vote out of nine on a county council, and whether, you know, other issues are going to interfere with, you know, what someone is saying about county budgets, about employees, about borrowing. I think, you know, when you're on a county council, you know, what's in the background, you know, where does that come into play?
Well, he already said in the debate, in the one and only county council debate, he said that he opposed spending money for open space. Huh. You were there. You heard him say it. I don't think it'd be too difficult for him to explain or to persuade a number of fellow Republicans to go along with that and perhaps one conservative Democrat.
I think, too, that a lot of people go into office with strident agendas, and they start learning what it's really like to make government work, and they start backing off on those agendas. And, you know, Dean Browning, you know, is a rock-solid conservative. And, you know, he ended up getting tossed out because he understood that we needed the services that his opponent, eventually Scott Ott, wanted to slash, the references that you made earlier in the show, Bernie. So, all right. So, and I thought it's weird. Northampton County, I think you were saying this, Jim, you know, goes back and forth. You know, they're like, we're throwing out the D's, now we're throwing out the R's. Well, you know, It's really been this weird mood
swing. It's hard to really trace that, I think, to any like anti-incumbency move.
Right.
I think a lot of people thought that John Stoffel was just getting tired, you know, toward the end of this second term.
And not
just in governing, but tired of fighting, you know, fighting with a council that probably should have been on his side, at least in terms of, you know, people in his party over, you know, the contract for ambulance services.
Yeah, John Stoffel never had a council on his side except in his last 2 years, and even then it was just barely.
Yeah.
They prevented him from basically getting anything done his first 6 years in office.
Yeah.
I'm serious about that.
Well, the mold is broken. You know, I don't see another John Stoffel coming along. He was really a unique guy, a good friend, former president of the board of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley. You got to wish Godspeed on our friend John Stoffel.
And somebody who came in and wasn't really politically connected. He wasn't a party guy.
No.
His background was human services, and you know, but he knew the county operations pretty well.
Yeah. If he thought a Republican could do the job better than a Democrat, he would appoint a Republican, you know, which would drive the Democrats on council nuts.
I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I think 62 municipalities and 48 police departments and 41 water and wastewater systems and 17 school districts and, you know, 3,000 solicitors and it's just outdated, redundant government. And, you know, a lot of people, and especially in the Republican Party, who think government, you know, who have some disdain for government, they want to slash government, they want to cut taxes. And yet, really, those numbers that I just cited would suggest that the greatest redundancy really is at the local level. Why aren't we hearing from this Republican Party more about government at the local level? I mean, I would think that there would be a great opportunity for us to do things like create a single police department for the whole county. The crime data center makes sense to me. Bernie, I think you and I have disagreed on this issue more than once. I'd be interested in your perspectives on that particular issue.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here. I mean, we drive home, you know, the whole issue of regionalism over and over and over. And I'm not sure it's a real partisan, you know, issue.
I think
Republicans and Democrats are equally guilty. But, Bernie, breaking news. I mean, today, you know, the city of Bethlehem, you know, was getting ready to sign a deal with Freemansburg to provide fire services for $40,000 a year.
Wow.
And there's probably a major blowback, you know, in the borough of Freemansburg and its volunteer fire department over that, even though it apparently was having trouble covering everything. And, you know, it makes sense for, you know, to share these sort of services. But why does
Freemansburg exist? Why does Glendon exist? Why does Belfast exist?
Hey, we got two breaking news stories here.
Hey,
and one
people
radio
should
show.
Listen
pretty
more.
Good. This is pretty good.
But seriously, West Easton, Glendon, Tatamy, I mean, these places, Portland is struggling. They've got a water system up there.
Glendon, there was a fellow who registered to run for borough council. He went out and got his signatures to run, and turns out he registered with the wrong party. He was a Republican and went out and got all the Democratic signatures, and he couldn't run. These guys, they really don't know what they're doing.
Huh.
And I think that I would agree that we do have too much fragmented government.
Yeah, I mean,
but home rule is a bond that's almost unbreakable. And even when you get to the point where you can't afford to provide services, I mean, you know, there's so many small municipalities like West Easton's trying to deal with police coverage right now.
Right.
There's no easy answers except to share. And there's no movement to consolidate. There's almost none.
Right.
Bethlehem City Council. Anything that we need to be talking about there? Is there
going to replace Bob Donches?
They've got to do that. I have a preference. You didn't mention her on your blog, Bernie, but Bethlehem needs to do a better job of engaging the Latino community. And a good way to do that is to appoint somebody that's capable of running and winning. I would support that kind of a demographic, and my favorite would be a woman named Olga Negron, who I think has paid her dues. You didn't mention her, Bernie. Have you heard her? Has the great mentioner named her at some point?
I've heard her name mentioned, and there's actually three or four Hispanic women who could fit that bill, and I think could probably do it more effectively than Olga Negron. I see her on the Planning Commission, and I'm not impressed.
Hmm. She's next president of the board of CLV, so I have full disclosure here. We're going to have to take another break. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. My guest tonight, I'm Alan Jennings, your host. My guests tonight are Bernie O'Hare, a blogger with Lehigh Valley Ramblings, and Jim Flagg, editor of the editorial page for the Express Times. More Lou Reed. Stick with us.
Men of good fortune often cause empires to fall, while men of poor beginnings often can't do anything at all.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem Southside, presenting Degeneration, An Exaltation of Larks. Written and performed by the Sandglass Theater, this new work is based on stories written collaboratively by Alzheimer's and late-stage dementia patients. Performed by 3 puppeteers and 5 puppets, Degeneration takes us into their complex and mysterious world, November 14th through 17th. For tickets or information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
Watch out!
Velvet Underground, easily one of the seminal bands of the 1960s, led by Lou Reed, who passed away since my last show. I was a huge fan. Had a live album called Live at Max's Kansas City. And in introducing that song, he said it was about going to bed and having something horrible happen in your life and waking up the next morning and remembering it. I think many of us have had that experience in some form or another, where you have this, like, you know, la-la land of sleep. You wake up and thought, oh, my God, what happened last night? And, you know, I bleed for my friend John Callahan. I mean, you know, going to into that election thinking that he had it locked up, and obviously it didn't go that way. What do you think is what do we do now if you're John Callahan? You've gotten beaten in 2 consecutive elections. Do you think John's got a political future?
I wouldn't count him out.
I don't know. I don't think the Democratic Party is ready to, like, just to turn over a job to him, and there doesn't seem to be anything that opens. He's run for Congress. He's run for county executive. It's hard to see what's next.
And yet he's a bright guy. He's a good-looking guy. He knows his stuff. He's got a pretty good record, and he's young, so it's hard to imagine that John's out, but I think he's got to be licking his wounds right now. Was there anybody added to either party's bench in this election? You know, you take somebody who's a city council, who starts out as not known by anybody. They get to city council, they get a little bit of name recognition. They go on to mayor, they go from mayor to state representative, they go from state representative to Congress or whatever. So, you know, there's a bench in elective office and city council and county councils, probably city council most commonly. Does anybody emerge from this election as a kind of wunderkind of their respective party? Do you get that from any of these races?
I didn't see that. I mean, I didn't see anybody who just jumped out, but there were some very solid people, you know, especially running for Northampton County Council.
I'd say in Lehigh County, there'd be one example of that, of a person who I think is on the rise, Ron Beitler, who ran in Lower Macungie Township and was successful in becoming elected in that
supervisor
township. And it was recently, just as recently as yesterday, challenged Wayne Woodman on some.
Is
some,
he a Republican?
He's a Republican.
But challenged Wayne Woodman.
Challenged Wayne Woodman over something that Woodman had written, and publicly challenged him over something he had written. And I, you know, there you've got a Republican who believes in open space, who believes in it for conservative reasons. You know, he's actually, you know, has found a justification for it. So I think that's a fellow who I would keep my eye on.
Bernie, I don't want to make too much of a pitch for your for Lehigh Valley Ramblings or anything, because undoubtedly somebody will get mad at me for it, because people are always mad at us for something. But, you know, you talked about on your blog today that you're going to be on the show tonight, and a couple of people, you encouraged your readers to weigh in on the kinds of things we should talk about. And there's some great things here, like Michael Donovan would have done even better without Alan Jennings' support for Pulaski. Ask why AJ felt it was necessary to throw such political support against MD. Is that his role? I didn't do anything against Michael, and I didn't do much of anything for my friend Ed Pulaski. Do you have any idea what the heck they're talking about there? And
no.
Do you think I have any influence on the elections? I wish I did.
Well, I think you do.
I think you have
the bully pulpit. You know, just as Jim Flagg, you know, can write his editorials.
I can't endorse people. I'm a nonpartisan. I don't know where that comes from. I love some of the things that people say about me on your blog, Bernie. It's always a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, where's your sports car?
I didn't see that. Somebody said I had a red Jaguar.
Yeah.
I
didn't see it out there. I saw you drive up, and it wasn't
Fusion.
Yeah.
What am I missing here?
Doc Rock wants to know why Bethlehem retains the archaic at-large election of council members that make it virtually impossible for the minority party to even get one member elected to council.
Yeah, I think we should go to those district elections so we can get a South Side resident on the city council. I like the district election concept
West Bethlehem.
Different reason than your reader. Mm-hmm. Whoever this guy is, but I support that agenda.
What do you think,
Jim? Would you endorse that?
Oh, for district races?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, Easton and Allentown both have them, correct? And you know, yeah, it really helps with, especially when you've got marginalized neighborhoods. Yeah.
Bernie, anything else here emerges?
What Jennings thinks of Pulaski's very poor showing?
Yeah, well, I talked about that. I didn't think it was a poor showing. I think what happened was the dissenters turned out, and that's what goes on here. There's some interesting stuff about the gay vote in Lehigh County involving Vic Mazziotti, a devout Catholic who interprets his faith as being anti-gay. Pope Francis has kind of weighed in on that issue in a way that's surprising. It does raise the question of, is the Pope Catholic? Because, he's been taking positions that have been, pretty different from his predecessors. Anything else in here, Bernie?
Well, no, I didn't see anything. Vic, he's not running again. You know that, right?
Has he said that for sure?
That's what he told me. One and done is what he told me.
I mean, Vic is a well-meaning guy that cares about his community, has a difference of opinion on the role of government, but I think Vic's heart is in the right place.
I would think if he were running again, he would not be elected.
He's been pretty outspoken and pretty strict in his adherence to a conservative agenda.
Frankly, I think that his interpretation of the Catholic view on that matter is dead wrong.
Yeah. Well, so now let's talk about what happens next year. 2014, we're going to have a pretty unpopular governor running for re-election. We'll have a congressional race, and my guess is that given the last couple elections, there won't be much opposition there. I think people are learning their lesson about running against Charlie Dent. Are there any lessons in the 2013 election that might inform people going into and planning for any role in the 2014 elections?
Well, I think the short answer is no. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of feedback from what's happening on the federal level. And I saw that today in a press release that came out of the governor's office, at Tom Corbett's office, excoriating Obama, you know, over the, you know, the switch in the Affordable Health Care Act. And I thought, okay, you know, the pendulum is already starting to swing here. So I think that's going to have a huge effect. But I mean, locally, you know, one question is, you know, does Ed Pawlowski have a chance, you know, running for governor of Pennsylvania? And I think lightning would have to strike there.
Yeah, I'm assuming, Bernie, that you'd probably say the same thing. You've made it very clear in the course of your writing that you're not a fan of Ed's. Here's my thinking of it. First of all, I think it's wide open. There are, five candidates from southeastern Pennsylvania where all the money and a lot of the votes are. They're going to divide them up. They're going to slash and burn. I don't think anybody emerges from Philadelphia as a clear winner. I think people are going to look at the candidates as it gets closer. Dark horses are always appealing. Witness Jimmy Carter in 1976, absolutely nobody, and everybody looked at the ones that they knew and said, not so sure. Who's that guy over there? Pawlowski's got a name that's going to sell in coal towns and in steel towns, and I think he's got an interesting story to tell about Allentown. Now, you know, that's not to say that Allentown doesn't have its issues, but I think there's a possibility there. I don't think Allison Schwartz gets any traction. I don't think her demographic works outside of Philadelphia. She ran an abortion clinic. That's not going to work well in a lot of parts of the state. I think it's anybody's election.
But I think the last campaign showed that you can have, a credible Democrat with executive experience who doesn't do well in a statewide race. It was Dan Honorato, who was, yeah, I think, the county executive in Allegheny County,
yeah,
and put together a pretty good campaign, you know, and it's tough for running outside Philadelphia and Pittsburgh for a Democrat.
You're listening to listener-supported public radio. This is WDIY. The show is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host. Sitting over there pushing the buttons and moving the gadgets and everything is Neil Heaver, who is the program manager at WDIY. The poor guy is here working overtime, helping us not do or say anything or sound too stupid. So, Neil, thanks for your good work. I've known Neil for a long time, love the same music, and so thanks, Neil. Okay, so what have we got left? We've got the question.
I think Corbett's going to be reelected.
Do you really?
Yes.
Okay, let's have.
I think Corbett's going
to
be reelected.
Bet on that one, Bernie.
You take a look at Ed Rendell. When he went for reelection, right before that reelection, he was as popular as you could be. Okay, you know, he had everybody mad at him, and he managed to turn it around and managed to win. I think that Corbett's going to win. I don't see any Democrat coming out that can beat him. The only one who I think could beat him would be Kathleen Kane, and she's not going to run.
I think let's talk about a bet on this one, Bernie, and we'll have that conversation. Let's talk just for we've got a few minutes left, and I want to talk for a minute, and I didn't give you the heads up on this. I wasn't sure whether we'd have the time. The two of you have totally different rules. Actually, Jim, you've kind of got rules, and Bernie, you kind of don't have rules when it comes to how you report and whether and how you endorse and so on. The morning call doesn't, I think as a business decision, cut costs and essentially eliminated their editorial operation. You continue to be able to write editorials, Jim. I'm glad you do because I almost always agree with you.
That's not necessarily a good sign.
Well, no, it's a really good sign. So the first question, Jim, would be, does the guy over there how do you look at him as competition or an annoyance or as a flank that's valuable to you or do you not look at?
Bernie's a good source of information. I read quite a few blogs, around the area and the state. Writing editorials is pretty much a group process. It's not real formalized at the Express Times, but we get together and we sort of decide on where we're going. We don't have any real agenda. If you were to describe what our editorial policy is, it's probably we're very conservative financially and we're moderate to liberal on social issues. were big on keeping taxes down, keeping politicians honest, trying to keep government meetings and records open, trying to advocate for the individual against the powers of government. Those are the things where we try to dip into, and we try to stay as local and regional as we can in our opinions, because our primary source is our own reporting.
And you have to sell newspapers, which means that, theoretically, you've got to be careful not to offend people that might buy them.
You're dead wrong about that.
I was going to say, absolutely wrong. I'm guessing you would say that that's not the case. But you still have a business to run. Bernie doesn't have to sell any advertising. He can do whatever he pleases.
What's a shame, for places like the Express Times or the Morning Call, and I'd like to pick on them both, what's a shame is the damage that has been done by outfits like Craigslist, to the newspapers, all that ad revenue that has gone, that funded reporters. I remember before I started blogging, when there were squads of reporters that would go out every single night to meetings all throughout the Lehigh Valley. And now there's a lot of municipalities that are uncovered, completely uncovered. And it's sad. It's sad. And when we talk about this statistic in Allentown, where it drops from 10,145 to 5,800 voters in 8 years, I think part of the reason for that is because of the decline of newspapers.
Bernie,
I really do.
How much time do you spend
on
your blog? Full time.
It's a full time job, really.
And why do you do that?
It's an avocation.
You get your kicks, kind of.
It's an avocation.
Pointing out your.
Yeah.
And Jim, just to be clear, is Bernie's blog a constructive contribution to the discourse? Is it irrelevant? I mean, how would you assess Bernie's role?
Well, he breaks news. I mean, Bernie gets original content on his blog, and that means something.
Have you had a reporter or an editor admit that before?
Oh yeah, many times.
Do you? There's no doubt they credit
me sometimes.
That's the case.
He's usually doing a lot of work for the
main so-called mainstream.
He's basically a reporter. He doesn't, he probably doesn't identify himself as that, but he is.
Yeah, I'm not a very good reporter because I don't go by the rules.
Right.
I'm a pretty lousy reporter, but I think my goal is to complement the newspapers.
Do you feel pressure, Bernie?
Is to supplement and complement what the newspapers do.
But I think most people understand when you're looking at someone's blog like Bernie's, that he has a point of view,
right.
And you see it over time. You understand that, so you gauge that. I mean, you put that's the lens you use in viewing what he's saying.
Do you feel pressure to conform in any way, or do you feel fairly comfortable that because you don't have advertising to hustle, because you've got opinions that you're fairly safe just kind of doing the full bore Bernie O'Hare thing?
Right.
Yeah,
I feel pretty comfortable doing what I do.
Yeah, I admire that, and because I have struggled constantly. I mean, I can't tell you. We'll have a conversation about the neighborhood improvement zone in Allentown. The pressure on me to conform, and yet the power of those resources to make change, is a real constant challenge for me. And we'll have that conversation separately.
5,800 voters.
Yeah, it's bad.
How many people aren't voting?
Yep, I know.
And it's the working poor. It's the working poor. They don't have time to vote. They've got three jobs.
Yeah.
It's people who don't work at all, who are unemployed.
And they don't think anybody's listening.
If they voted, their votes would mean just as much as J.B. Riley's.
Yep. We're running out of time. I want to make a last tribute to Lou Reed. I want to thank my guests, Bernie O'Hare, who writes the blog, Lehigh Valley Ramblings, and to Jim Flagg, the editor of the editorial pages of the Express Times. This last song that will close this month's show is iconic for a sliver of the American rock and roll scene. Somehow, it existed in a parallel universe with the more traditional classic rock music. The Velvet Underground was among those artists who were more influential after they gave it up than when they were actually making music. Brian Eno once famously said that the Velvets sold 30,000 records, and every single kid who bought one started a band. So tonight, with thanks to Jim Flagg and to Bernie O'Hare, I Honor an Enigma with, and that is Lou Reed with one last song, what I would consider his signature song.
Standing on the corner, suitcase in my hand, jacket's in his corset, Jane is in her vest, and me, I'm in a rock and roll band. Huh. Riding in a Studs Bearcat gym. You know, those were different times. All the poets, they studied rules of verse, and those ladies, they rolled their eyes. CJ! Something to Jack, he is a banker, and Jane, she is a clerk, and both of them save their